All righty, everyone, how are we doing? Monday night, 9:30 p.m. is when I'm recording this. I'm not counting this as an episode. This is going to be like one of those live reaction episodes because I don't really think this is going to be like an hour-long episode. It might get a little long just because I have a lot to say, because for those of you who don't know, Patriots are my team. That's the team I root for. So, yeah, tonight was crazy. And before I get into anything, I want to ask whoever's listening. So we've seen a lot of Monday night games. I believe it was Seahawks and Saints. And that game was low scoring. And let me pull that game up because I want to make sure I'm making a valid case. I believe that, was this like week six? Let's see. I'm going to take a guess that it was week six, not week 13. That's the week we're in. No. It was not week six. Week five? I think it was week of the Packers and it might have been week seven. I'm butchering this. I cannot find the game. Oh, it was week seven. Okay, week seven. The Saints played the Seahawks and the score ended up 13-10. And the Saints won. Let me go to GameCast. Geno Smith was playing. So in a primetime game with Jameis Winston and Geno Smith, 13-10, obviously you probably don't expect Geno Smith to score a lot of points for the Seahawks, but you also don't expect the Saints to only score 13. And I watched that and I classified that as a boring game. But for people like for games like tonight, Patriots and Bills, and this could be my bias because I'm a Patriots fan, so take this with a grain of salt. But I found tonight's game, a 14-10 win for the Patriots, more entertaining than that 13-10 game. And it's more because those are two high-powered defenses, and there was a lot of goal line stands and a lot of plays in the red zone that determined the game. It also, I think, was interesting to see how the teams were going to game plan against each other. Like the Patriots literally said, there's a meme going around of a run play in Madden, and it says run down their throat or something. That was the game plan. Mac Jones threw it three times. He completed two passes and threw one incomplete. He should have thrown two incomplete passes because the one to Janu made a great play. But I just kind of want to know. I want to know your guys' opinion. It's weird. Because I also consider, and like I said, I am a Patriots fan. This could be the bias. So don't, if you didn't enjoy it, because, if you're not a Patriots fan and you didn't enjoy it, I get it. I like games with high scoring, and most of the time, primetime games, I do want high scoring. And I want a high scoring here, because everyone, to see Kendrick Bourne score against the Bills, that would have been cool. Like all these new players the Patriots got in to see them celebrate would have been cool because this is some players' first time in this rivalry. But yeah, that's just my question. Is a primetime game where both defenses really stand out and the offenses are doing good but just not able to score in the red zone, like touchdown-wise, is that entertaining still, or is it they didn't score many points so it's boring automatically? I just want to know. Because I was going to bring up the Super Bowl with the Rams, with the Patriots. I found that entertaining just because at any point it felt like in a Super Bowl that any point, like a big pass could break out and the game could change. It never felt like one, and I say that the same probably for tonight. It really never felt like it was all Patriots or all Bills. It felt like both teams were really slugging it out in a gritty game and the Patriots came out on top. I mean, the last drive for the Bills got stalled out at like the 23-yard line. That says a lot. Like they were down by four. And that's the thing too. The Patriots scored and went for two and they got it. Then the Bills scored and they kicked the extra point. So they were always down by four. If you go for two there, you're down by three in that position. You can tie it. So really interesting and stuff like that kind of makes like the gears in my head start spinning. And I start thinking about like what really makes an enjoyable football game. Is it the high scoring? Is it the matchup? Like, J.C. Jackson and Diggs, everyone was talking about, even though that really went nowhere because the run game was so relied on for both teams. So yeah, please let me know. I'll put a poll in the podcast. And I also asked on my Instagram, Let's Talk Sports 2021. So if you are following that, you can just go over there and click on my story and it's in there. But yeah, anyway, let's get into the game itself, because I do have a lot to talk about. I'm going to bring up first, because I also posted this on my story, and it's fresh on my mind. The Patriots won, so it didn't play effect, but let me find the exact play and put it in perspective. Because officiating in the NFL right now is a train wreck. There is way too many games decided by a defensive penalty. Like, I won't be shocked if sometime this year a team will throw a Hail Mary and they'll call defensive pass interference and the team will get it at the one and be able to score. Like, you, as a ref, I feel like should be taught that sometimes you gotta just keep the flag in your pocket. The ref cannot decide a football game. The ref should let I'm pretty sure I heard this a long time ago, so it may not be true, that in the Super Bowl, the refs are told, no matter what you see, be reluctant to throw a flag because it's the Super Bowl. Let the teams just let the players play. And I think in a close game, a 14-10 game, that should be the standard, right? You cannot let a flag decide a team's loss, because then it's not the team's, it's not the other team's actual skill. It's the flag. And I get you're taught to not make these dumb decisions, but also as a cornerback, you're taught to put if you're running downfield with a wide receiver, you're the inside hand tucked away from the ref. You're kind of taught to tug on his knee pad or his pant a little bit so that he slows down. That's what you're taught. It's a cheat. I mean, you're committing a penalty, but it's a cheat. And a lot of corners, Gilmore in his years with the Patriots, when he was really good, he did it a lot. And near the end of his run, he kind of got caught for it a little bit. Anyway, let me find the play I was talking about that really is stirring this conversation for me. Recap. I believe it was in the third quarter. Oh, is it not going to? Oh, play by play. I went to this though. Weird. Okay. Play by play. I think it was the drive they got a field goal, or was it the drive they missed the field goal? I know it was on Miles Bryant, I'm pretty sure. No, that was Dante Hightower's horse collar, which was the right call. He definitely horse collared that poor man. Was it on the drive they got a field goal? Okay, yes. 3rd and 7. The Bills are driving. They're at New England's 35. And that's the thing I have to put into perspective while I'm reading this. 35, that's for what's their kicker's name? I'm a big fan of the Bills kicker. Tyler Bass. At the New England 35, most games, that's a doable field goal. But if you did not watch the game today, 50 to 55 mile per hour wind gusts. And when I said the balls were carried out of the field, they were literally carried. If you don't want to watch this game, but you just want to know what the weather was, watch the opening kickoff. It went 10 feet into the stands. It was insane. The weather was ridiculously crazy. And so the reason I this penalty bothers me is because a kick from the 35 was not a guarantee at all. No matter how good you are, even if you're Adam Vinatieri, you may not make this field goal. So Josh Allen scrambles because he is a dual threat and he's running out of bounds and he's not going to get the first down. So he tries to tiptoe along the sidelines and he jumps out of bounds, but reaches for the pylon. Miles Bryant comes in and pushes him while he's jumping, but he's already out of bounds, but he's jumping for the first down and he pushes him and he falls. He then gets a 15-yard penalty for unnecessary roughness. Now, if it's 3rd and 20, right, and Josh Allen's running and he's nowhere near the first down, he's just trying to get a few more yards, then yes, don't push him. But as a football player, I am taught that yellow line that he's going for, that imaginary yellow line, he cannot get past it. So when he's jumping and trying to reach for the first down, I would also have pushed him. And matter of fact, I probably would have tried to drill him. So it bugs me because, and I saw something today about, I'm going to kind of transition over to NCAA real quick. In the game, Kenny Pickett did the fake slide and scored. Sure, really cool play. I forgot who said it, but it was a very good point. That should not be encouraged. Because now as a defensive like back or linebacker at any defensive position, every time a quarterback goes to slide, I'm going to drill him. Because I can no longer trust that he is going to slide. So I think what they should do in the NFL, or not in the NFL, in NCAA, if you're going, you cannot fake slide. As cool as it was, and I loved the play, and I thought it was really smart, once you look like you're about to give yourself up, you're done. Because, like, you're taught, like, that's the thing, if you hold up, that can happen. What if Josh Allen magically, like, jumped back in? Or him not pushing it, they changed the first down, like the marking to a first down, because they marked him a yard short originally until the penalty got thrown. Then it's automatic first down. So yeah, that just bugs me, and it was really, really unfortunate. Like, I mean, it didn't decide the game. The Patriots still won, so it didn't really help the Bills, but they did get a field goal on it. Just frustrations, and I don't blame the Bills at all for like Josh Allen got up and was like, I just got hit. And first off, for people who don't watch football regularly, football players are also actors. You are taught to like be dramatic. Like, I don't know if you've seen, there's sometimes where players are getting held and they literally stop playing. They just put their hands up and like try to like pull away because they're trying to make the ref see, and they're trying to be dramatic. And sometimes it works. Tom Brady's also the king of it. Have you ever seen the video of someone like comes and like nudges Tom Brady and he goes flying on the floor, and I think they called the penalty, which is so wrong because he did flop. I mean, I wouldn't say football players are as big as actors as NBA players, but they're up there. You're taught to act. You have to be a little dramatic. Let me go back to the top now. I want to recap this game real quick. It was a lot of fun, in my personal opinion. Obviously, I'm biased. I don't think I would have been as happy to do this if they lost. 7 in a row for the Patriots, for those of you who don't know. They were 2-4. They are now 9-4. They have, I believe, a game and a half lead over, because they've played one more game than the Bills. The Patriots have the latest bye ever in football, week 14, which is this coming week. The Patriots do not play. The Bills go to, I'm intrigued. Do the Bills go to Tampa, or are they home? Because, man, it is hard to play in Buffalo. That weather is no joke. And that's the thing, too. People thought it was going to snow. It didn't end up snowing. So, no, the Bills go to Tampa Bay. So weather won't play in effect, but that should be a good game, because Tom Brady never lets the Bills beat him. He has that Bills like kryptonite. But the Bills want revenge. This coming game for the Bills is a big game for them. If they lose to the Bucks, you can almost say that the Patriots own the East. Granted, the Patriots have to play the Colts and then the Bills again. So if the Patriots beat the Colts and the Bills lose to the Bucks, that's a deciding game that other. But if the Patriots win I totally just lost my train of thought. If the Bills lose to the Bucks and the Patriots beat the Colts, it's gonna be hard for the Bills to catch up. If the Bills lose to the Bucks but the Patriots also lose to the Colts, then there's still hope. It's the football is why, like, ending so crazily right now. Like, everything is like up in the air. Sorry if you hear my phone go off. I'm clicking through these things real quick. So yeah, as of now, the Patriots are the 1 seed. The Titans are the 2 seed. So I am going to talk about the game. I'm just kind of rambling right now because I have a lot. Ravens are 3. Chiefs are 4. Chargers are 5. Bengals are 6. Wow. Buffalo fell to 7. So I'm intrigued. If somehow next week the Browns beat the Ravens, the Chiefs beat the Raiders, the Titans beat Jacksonville, Pittsburgh beats Minnesota. Saints beat the Jets. Seahawks beat the Texans. Also, I'm going to give a shout out to this website because I use it a lot when I'm talking about hypotheticals in football. It's called Playoff Predictors, for those of you who don't know what it is. It gives you it gives you a bunch of lists of teams, and you can pick, like right here, I have the Lions and the Broncos, and I can pick what team's going to win, or I can pick a tie. They actually just came out with like an alpha mode or like a beta mode for a 2.0 version where you can like put in the scores for each game. This is not a sponsor either. Like, I'm just shouting this website out because I use it a lot, and they're like, the website is great. But that's what I use. So I'm using that right now. Broncos beat the Lions. Chargers beat the Giants. Bengals beat the Niners. Okay, if the Buccaneers beat the Bills next week and the Browns win, the Chiefs win, the Titans win, the Steelers win, the Saints win, the Seahawks win, the Broncos win, the Chargers win, the Bengals win, and the Bucks beat the Bills, Buffalo falls to the 9th seed. That would be damaging for their season. And that's the thing too, if that happens, then the Bills would need the Patriots to beat the Colts next week, because the Colts would be the eighth seed, it says right here. Wow, football's really going crazy right now. But yeah, anyway, let me actually hop into the game. Sorry, I keep sidetracking. So I have a lot on my mind right now after this game and all the playoff pictures, how they're shaping out right now. So the game starts, like I said, with that crazy kickoff where it went not out of bounds, but into the stands behind the end zone. So it was a touchback. The Patriots ran it three times. Well, they ran it twice. They got blown up both times. And then they pitched it and they fumbled, so they lost a bunch of yards. They punted. It did not look good for the Patriots. Everyone was like, oh God, here we go. And then the Bills ran it twice, and then Josh Allen threw it, but it was incomplete. So then the Bills punted it right back. So both teams go three and out, and it's looking like kind of foreshadowed the game. Like, this was what it was going to be constantly. The Patriots got the ball back. They ran it again three times, and it actually was like deja vu, because it almost, what happened the first time happened again on their second drive. Harris ran it twice. He got 6 yards, and I believe that's what happened the first time. Yep, 6 yards, and then they went back. Bolden got tackled for minus 1 yard, and then they punted again. This time, it was only a 15-yard punt because the wind blew the ball literally so far. And then the Bills got the ball at Patriots 43, or 40, actually. J.C. Jackson blew up Emmanuel Sanders on a screen. I remember that play. And then they ran it with Singletary, and then Matthew Judon on 3rd and 9 got a neutral zone infraction. So then it was 3rd and 4. Breida got on 3rd and 4. Josh Allen threw it to Breida. He got a 5-yard catch, and it was first down. Then on 1st and 10 on New England's 29, Josh Allen fumbled it, and on a bad handoff. I actually don't know why it says Josh Allen. I actually do think it was more of Breida's fault. And then Lawrence Guy recovered it for the Patriots, which then led to another 3-play drive by New England, but this time it scored. Jonnu Smith, they ran a play where he took the handoff. It got blown up. They never did it again. Aguilar had a little end around, and he got 6 yards. So then it was 3rd and 5, and they handed it off to Damian Harris. I did want to talk about N'Keal Harry, though, because on this play, he chip blocked like one of the guard or the defense tackles, sorry. And Harris bounced out. He found the gap. He cut back and he took it to the house 64 yards. And then they ran it in for a 2-point conversion with Brandon Bolden. It was a very good block by N'Keal Harry. And I do bring this up because what happens next is a little unfortunate. And Patriot fans, me being one of them, were a little hard on N'Keal Harry because, in all honesty, Bill Belichick should move N'Keal Harry to tight end. He's big enough to be a tight end. And he blocks like a tight end, and he just all around plays like a tight end. So the Bills go five plays. They punt, and for some reason it was Gunnar Olszewski lined up a little, like it's probably like 15, 20 yards ahead of N'Keal Harry, and N'Keal Harry was back to catch the punt. I don't know if they were trying to do some trickery where like they had an extra blocker for N'Keal, or if they were going to run some like trick thing where Gunner fake caught it and N'Keal Harry actually had it. I don't know what they were doing. N'Keal Harry goes for the ball. It looks like it hits him, but it doesn't. And then while he's like stumbling away, the ball goes up in the air, comes back down, and hits off his face mask. And at normal speed, it does not look like it hits him. But when they slow it down, it was almost undeniable that it bounced off his helmet. And I was so mad. And in the moment, I was like, get rid of him. But his blocking is one of the best parts of this New England season. So we have to be a little bit, Patriot fans have to be a little bit lenient to him. Anyway, then I'm not kidding. The very next play after that, Allen lasered it into Gabriel Davis, and they scored. So then it was 8-7. They went for the extra point, which is actually kind of ended up being their downfall. The next drive, Patriots use Ramondre Stevenson on first down to get 10 yards. He is so good. Ramondre Stevenson is like a Marshawn Lynch and I made the Marshawn Lynch and Le'Veon Bell combined. I don't think he'll ever be like as like renowned as Marshawn Lynch or Le'Veon Bell, but he has the patience of Le'Veon Bell and he has like the beast quake of beast mode. And then on first and 10, I just want to talk about this. This was Mac Jones's first pass. He airmailed it, but Johnny Smith jumped up, hit it out of the air with one hand and bobbled it and came down with it for 12 yards. That was his only throw in the first half, by the way. And then later that drive, they got down to Buffalo's 23. They got stalled out, and Nick Folk drilled the field goal. Nick Folk is a very good kicker. I actually talk about it a lot because I watch the Buccaneers games a lot because of Tom Brady. And I'm not a Buccaneers fan, by the way. I just like Tom Brady. Ryan Succop and Nick Folk years ago were like clowned on because they could not make field goals to save their lives. And now they are both on two very good teams and both being very big for their teams. Anyway, for the rest of the first half, both teams punt. Nothing really happens. Then to start the second half, both teams punt. I believe this is this was kind of crazy. So the Patriots were driving. They got it at their 34, second and 7. Ramondre Stevenson broke out a 15-yard run. It was so good. It really felt like the Patriots were getting a good drive going. And then Johnny Smith got called for holding. And then everyone in my house kind of knew that that drive was over because it made the drive second and 17, and everyone knew that the Patriots were just going to run it. So the Patriots ended up punting it, and then the Bills got another field goal. This was the drive where the unnecessary roughness call happened. From 35, Tyler Bass drilled the field goal. It was beautiful. Actually, no, I'm thinking of Nick Folk's kick later. He actually almost missed it wide left, but it just snuck in. Then the next drive for the Patriots, they drove down the field. It was an eight and a half minute drive. A lot of Ramondre Stevenson because Damian Harris on this drive broke a 22-yard run, but he hurt his hamstring. I don't know if it was his hamstring, but he got hurt because he started limping after. It looked like hamstring. And then, so the Patriots had the ball at Buffalo's 33. They ran a QB sneak, and Mac Jones got 4 yards. It was pretty crazy. And then on fourth and one, and this also hurts them, actually. I forgot about this, but this was a big reason probably why they lost. Mac Jones, QB sneaks it. It through my eyes, it looked like he didn't get it. And I don't know, because through most views, it looked like he kind of disappeared. They gave it to him. They said he got the first down. The Bills coach, what's his name? God, I was saying his name the whole game. I forgot his name. He threw a challenge flag. And I don't know why you would ever throw a challenge flag about spotting on a field when the person who got the first down is in the middle / bottom of the dog pile. You are not going to... I couldn't even find Mac Jones's cleats after he went into the dog pile. I was looking at his cleats and they disappeared. He literally went invisible. So obviously, as a ref, you can't overturn it. You don't know where he is. You gave him the ruling. You have to, like, those timeouts are valuable in a game like this, and it proved to be valuable because they could have used one more timeout at the end to force New England to punt. But instead, he threw the challenge flag. The call stood because they couldn't see Mac Jones, and they already ruled it a first down. So then anyway, it didn't really hurt too. I mean, I guess it kind of did. The Patriots ran the ball 3 more times. They actually ran it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. seven more times. After three runs, it was the fourth quarter. And then once the fourth quarter started, they ran it three more times. And then Nick Folk drilled a 34-yarder, making it 14-10. And then the next play for the next drive for the Bills, 11-play drive, 5-minute drive as well. They were driving down the field pretty, like they were throwing it. This was like the first like real throwing drive that looked good. Was this the drive? No, it wasn't. There's on my story, if you follow my Instagram, a highlight of Stephon Diggs making a very great catch and proving why he's one of the best. It wasn't this drive. But on 2nd and 7 at New England's 20, Josh Allen threw it to Zach Moss. Hightower tackled him out of bounds, but he horse-collared him. So they were at New England's 13. First and goal at New England's 6. Oh, sorry, the penalty was enforced at New England's 13, half the distance to the goal line, put them at the 6. Zach Moss on first and goal got tackled for no gain. Then on 2nd and goal, Josh Allen got sacked by Matthew Judon for -9 yards. Matthew Judon having a great year. 3rd and 15, Josh Allen threw an incomplete pass to Dawson Knox. And then on 4th and goal, New England's 15. This is kind of where coaching kind of got questionable. Like, their call was questionable. They went to kick field goal, and Tyler Bass missed it wide right. And the Patriots got the ball at their own 15. And I get it, because then all you need is a field goal to win, and you've been stopping New England to field goals. So I get it, but I also don't. Because if New England gets one more good drive going, which they didn't, but if they did, that clock you have is expired. They're running it. They're taking your time. Anyway, he missed it. The Patriots went 3 and out anyway, and they actually threw it twice on that drive, which was shocking. Jake Bailey had a 71-yard punt, which I believe they said was his longest of his career. And then the Bills got it for what ended up being their final drive. They drove down the field. This was the one to Stephon Diggs. On their game-winning drive, well, not game-winning, but what could have been their game-winning drive, the first pass was for 26 yards, and oh, it was a beautiful throw and a beautiful catch by Stephon Diggs. Toe drag swag is, who says that? Michael Irvin? I don't remember. Who hosts toe drag swag? I don't want to disrespect legend. Toe drag swag. Oh, no, it's Nate Burl. I don't know how to say his last name, Burleson, right? And good morning. Well, he's not there anymore, which is unfortunate. But shout out. Love toe drag swag. I don't even know if they do it anymore. Anyway, off topic. They drive down the field. They get to New England's 14. It looks hopeless for New England. New England takes a timeout with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left. On 2nd and 9, Josh Allen threw it to Diggs. He overthrew him out of the end zone. 3rd and 9, Dawson Knox jumped off sides. So then it became 3rd and 14. This is kind of when it felt like New England was getting something going on defense. On 3rd and 14, Josh Allen threw it deep to Dawson Knox. Adrian Phillips made a great play. Josh Allen also made a great play because he should have been sacked, but he broke both tackles and then threw it to Dawson Knox. Adrian Phillips swatted it down. And then on 4th and 14, Josh Allen threw it across the middle, and Miles Bryant came back across, hit it down. New England got the ball back, and they won. So yeah, it was an incredible game, in my opinion. I had a lot of fun watching it. I was very stressed. Maybe that's why I found it so enjoyable, because my heart couldn't stop beating like 120 beats per minute. But yeah. It was fun. I had a good time. I am going to cut real quick because I'm running out of time and I want to get my thoughts out before I end it. So 1 second. But yeah, like I was saying, I just had a good time. It was fun. Stressful, but fun. NFL is kind of shaping up right now. This is like the best time to watch football, right? It's going into week 14, right? Week 14. An extra week of football this year, though, so that's always nice. 18 weeks instead of 17. It's getting crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Thank you so much for listening. This was a longer live reaction than the Odell one. I just had a lot more to say. This has a lot more implications to the future of the NFL. Like, what's happening next with both teams and teams they're playing and et cetera. So, I'm excited. I'm excited for football. I'm excited for my team. Go Patriots. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. I had a lot of fun on this episode. I need to go take a very long nap. I have to sleep for like 20 hours because I think I lost a few hours of my life tonight because I was so stressed. But thank you so much for watching. I'll be back Wednesday with a full episode, not a live reaction. If you have any questions or want to comment, let me know. Just holla at me at Let's Talk Sports 2021, or on if I ever put a poll up on my podcast, just look for it and it'll be there. Thank you so much for watching. Like I said, I'll be back Wednesday. And have a great night and a great Tuesday as well. And I'll see you Wednesday. Go Patriots.